I think I might have sent out, 100 applications to all kinds of companies. And some companies, I sent to several positions. And I just saw, 50% you wouldn't get a reply, 30% they told you, 40% they told you it's not relevant. And 10% you get a phone call and you don't pass to the next stage. So it was such a big hurdle sending your CV in. And I noticed that not only was it demoralizing, but you didn't get a lot out of it. And I needed to just change my strategy. So I tried approaching people on LinkedIn. Again, this was something that I learned at Gvahim, at the course that I did, that it makes a lot of sense when that is explained to you. But back then, I had no idea that this is what you could do. So that was, one of the strategies that I started adopting. And then, of course, the coffees and posting on Facebook and turning to friends and going to these networking events. This was a whole world that I didn't know.
Now, here's the question. If everything about professional success is related to connections and who you know, then how do you build and maintain such a network, especially if you're starting from scratch? This podcast is the answer. Whether you're a job seeker, an entrepreneur, or a social activist, you need a community behind you to succeed. You need to network yourself to success, especially if you're not just looking for a career, but rather the career. My name is Jordan Niemann, and I believe networking is a craft which anyone can learn to master.
Wow. All right, welcome to another podcast episode. Today I have a fellow Scandinavian, Nathaniel. So basically, it's we also have a bond. When you see another Scandinavian in Israel, we call that uncommon commonalities. Like, we have something common, and here it's not so common. So that's why we bond. And one of the reasons we bond so fast was because you're a great guy and you have some great stories to tell about how you reach where you are today. And so we met in Gvahim when you were doing the Gvahim program. You had Maya as a consultant, which is one of our best placement managers in Gvahim. Why don't you tell a little bit about your story, how you got to where you are, and how long you've been in this role?
Sure. So I would still consider myself an Oleh Chadash. I think this is something that will last forever, maybe, being someone that moved to Israel from another country. I was born and raised in Sweden. I've lived in all kinds of different countries, in Sweden, in Norway, in Australia. I did my studies in Scotland. I've lived in Spain. And after a while, I decided that I want to move to Israel, explore some career opportunities, get into tech, but also, of course, to be closer to my family. So it's a long journey that took me to this point. And I think coming to Israel, it was a big change for me career-wise, because I remember I came and I had just done my trip with my grandmother for 4 months. And I thought, now I will, come to Israel with this amazing experience. We had been on television a few times, and I thought, now people will chase me. Sorry about that. My mom just entered the room. And basically, I thought, now, the red carpet will be laid out for me and I will get all of these job offers. And I didn't. I struggled for 4 or 5 months. I didn't find any job. And I thought, I will probably have to move back home. And I was looking at different Facebook groups, and I was asking, for advice. And some people recommended to me Gvahim. And I think that was a changing point for me, because Gvahim really took everything that I had and they fine-tuned it. I had my personal mentor or career advisor, Maya, who, really took me under her wing and, you know, sent me and put me in touch with all kinds of people. And I remember a specific session with you as well, where you were talking about networking. One of the things that really stuck in my mind was that, you know, if you're in Israel and you haven't had 7 coffees, you haven't really tried to look for a job.
I usually say 5, but you can say 7 is also good. But you should say 5 cup of coffees, and you haven't really been looking for a job. Yeah.
I always raise
raise the bar.
Exactly. So I took that to heart. I decided to have coffees with a lot of managers. I was, you know, they told me, okay, speak to this person, speak to that person, speak to this person, and really find out what is it that you want to do. Because back then, I didn't know if I wanted to do customer success or if I wanted to go into sales. Should I find a project manager role? I didn't really know what was my avenue. I knew approximately what these roles would entail, but I didn't know what I was good at or what I should be doing.
So you were doing informational meetings, informational interviews, you could call them. Networking for information, basically.
Definitely. And also to see, you know, do you have a position and do you think that would fit me? And luckily, you know, I was sending out 8 to 10 emails and all of them got positive replies, and people, you know, were happy to meet with me for a coffee because I was already, even though I was a freelancer, I was in the company. And if I was in the company, they thought there is a reason and let's try to keep this guy. Unfortunately, a lot of those meetings were dead ends, but it definitely helped me understand, you know, what I would rather do and what I would rather not do. And I can tell you that although it didn't lead to a job, I did, you know, three months down the line, I had an interview for a position, for a partnership position at Wix. I didn't get the job, but I think the coffee that I had with two of the people in the department, that really gave me that interview. So I realized that there was, you know, a winning concept here, and I should definitely play to that strength.
Exactly. So the whole point is that when you were reaching out to those people, you weren't asking them for a job. You were asking them for advice, which is like a huge difference. Like when someone it also sounds very desperate, right? It's like going up to someone you don't know. Hey, I need a job. Can we meet? Can we talk? But you come to someone and say you don't know really so well. You know, do you have time for coffee? I need your advice. So I need to, need some more information about what it is. These things are. So today you've got a job in the customer success. I want to tell you, how did you get that first position?
So after Wix, I was interviewing. This is a bit of a longer story, but it will take me to where I am today. But after Wix, I finished my 3-month, project, and then it was time to look for more jobs. I was interviewing for a few companies. One of them was a 2-month-long process for a Swedish customer success position.
It's probably like perfect for you. I mean, who else do you have that's Swedish and pretty good with customers and lives in Tel Aviv? And it's like fit for you.
That's what I thought. You know, I got to the final stage. In the end, they decided to go with another candidate who I actually know, and I'm very happy for this person. So unfortunately, I didn't get the job, and I was quite crushed. You know, it was a 2-month-long process. I think 3 or 4 interviews, 1 home assignment, 1 presentation. So it was a really, really heavy process, and I didn't make it. And I called a friend and he told me, you know, you can either lie down and give up, or you can change your strategy and think about what can you do better. And I think that brought me back to, okay, what are my strengths? And I think I'm a people person. So I thought back about the networking lessons that I had gotten, and I decided, okay, I need to have more face-to-face meetings with people. And I need to not just sell my CV, because I did have experience, but it wasn't this, you know, high level experience. So I needed to sell my potential. And I looked on for different meetups, and I found that there was this high tech tour. The Tel Aviv municipality was arranging different high tech tours, and they took us to two different companies. One of them was called Bizabo, and they had a presentation about the company, and they also happened to have two customer support roles. So I decided to approach them, and they said, you know, send in your CV through me, and let's see if we can get you an interview. I got an interview. At the same time, I was posting on Facebook that I am an Ole Chadash, I need help. You know, from going from zero interviews, I went on this high-tech tour, I posted on Facebook, and I also approached another friend of mine that left a position at a company called Connect Team. And suddenly I had about 10 interviews running at the same time that I needed to manage, from people, you know, networking events, this high-tech tour, posting on Facebook, approaching my friends. So everything suddenly was working in my favor. And meeting people face to face really, really helped. I think my top two candidates was Connect Team and Bizabo. I was, you know, interviewing for Bizabo, and I was interviewing for this company called Connect Team. Because I was at the later stages, and unfortunately, I had to tell Connect Team that I will go with this other company. I started working at Bizabo, great experience, you know, getting into a very successful event tech company within customer support. I thought that would be a fantastic entry. 4 months later, approximately, COVID-19, we worked in event tech. I was put on chalat, like a lot of other people in Israel.
Which means what?
Which means that basically I was furloughed. I was put on unpaid leave.
Yeah.
So here, you know, I went back a bit and thought, you know, what should I be doing? I'm not sure if they would bring me back. They're in the events industry. And suddenly, you know, I get a phone call from this person that interviewed me at Connect Team a few months before, and they remembered me. And they asked me, how are you doing? And I told them, I'm on chalat. I think they had a feeling. And they said, you know, would you like to come and interview for us again? And I said, yes. I think 4 or 5 days later, I was actually employed by Connect Team. So it was an extremely quick process. Now I've been with that company for 6 months, and it's been one of the most enriching experiences that I've had in my career. I think in 6 months, I've learned more than I've done in my, you know, 5 years combined of work experience at all of these different other companies. It's a customer success position for a small startup SaaS company. And really, I've gotten to try out so many different things since I ended up working at Connect Team. We're a tiny team. We're now interviewing new people. So I've had interview experience, product management, support experience, sales experience, working with the YouTube channel, working with onboarding. I've gotten to touch so many different things. And I think it's all, you know, this whole long journey of patience and really trying to find what is my strength.
Cool. Interesting. So so you're hiring soon again. This is a company that's growing. So anyone who is interested in customer success or customer support, Connect Team, that's the thing. And you can, of course, ping you on LinkedIn if they're interested. I want to go back a little bit to what you said before, that you changed your strategies a little bit. So what strategies were you using before you started like reaching out to people, and what was not going right?
So I think my identity started to be defined by the fact that I wasn't getting the replies that I wanted to. And I was a bit afraid to share with people that I am unemployed. So I think, you know, the change that I really made was opening up to as many people as possible that I am unemployed and I'm looking for a job and this is what I can offer, and asking, you know, how can I contribute to your organization? So, you know, the thing like posting on Facebook, a lot of people that approached me and asked me, what did you do? I tell them, make a post on Facebook on all of these different groups, explain that you are an Ole Chadash and what you have done in the past and, you know, what you are bringing to the table. For a lot of people, that's a really hard step to put, you know, on social media. I've been here for 5 months and I haven't found a job. You know, in a sense, I thought, you know, you are devaluating yourself in a way, but actually that was one of the best things that I could do. And as I mentioned, suddenly I had 6 or 7 interviews in the pipeline. Not all of them my dream positions, of course, but you have to start somewhere. And I think the first step is to really open up to people and share that you are looking for a job and you are really here to make the best, you know, best impression possible and to really contribute. So I think that was really the change to open up and showing that, you know, I am here. I left everything behind me to come to this place and give it my all and to succeed and to contribute. And I think it resonated with a lot of people because we need to remember Israel was built by people making sacrifices. People came to this country, left everything they had behind them. And a lot of people do that. They move to a new place, they leave everything behind to start over. And you need to ask for help. You have to.
Definitely. Definitely. So that's a great point. I mean, it is really, it takes a lot of courage to kind of like go out there and put yourself out there and admit, you know, I'm not seeing myself finding a job. Can you help me? But it's not really what you're saying. What you're saying is like, you're suggesting that people can help you. So, and it's very natural that it's difficult to find a job in Israel. It's not such a, embarrassing thing anyways. It still takes a little courage. There are two levels. You mentioned one is you put yourself out there on Facebook, which is really take courage. The other one is just reaching out one-on-one, like to your old friends, to anyone that you know, just making it apparent that you're looking for a position if they have, or looking for opportunities and if they have any ideas. And that's something that a lot of people don't do. And it's much easier just to sit there and apply to a website. That's also what you did, right? How many applications do you think you sent out in that period?
I think I might have sent out, you know, 100 applications to all kinds of companies. And some companies, you know, I sent to several positions. And I just saw, you know, 50%, you wouldn't get a reply. 30%, they told you. 40%, they told you it's not relevant. And, you know, 10%, you get a phone call and you don't pass to the next stage. So it was such a big hurdle sending your CV in. And I noticed that not only was it demoralizing, but, you know, you didn't get a lot out of it. And I needed to just change my strategy. So I tried approaching people on LinkedIn. You know, again, this was something that I learned at Gvahim, at the course that I did, that you have these people working in HR, you know, it's on their profile. We are hiring, you know, so their job is to find people for this position. Why don't you just turn to them on LinkedIn and say, hey, you have this position. This is my experience. Let's have a conversation. I think I would be great. It makes a lot of sense when that is explained to you. But back then, I had no idea that this is what you could do. So that was, you know, one of the strategies that I started adopting. And then, of course, the coffees and posting on Facebook and turning to friends and going to these networking events. This was a whole world that I didn't know that I would, you know, do quite, that I would have a good way into.
Yeah, yeah. And you are a social person, you're a people's person, as you say. So So what you say, even the more so people are not that more introverted would feel even harder about this, but you didn't even think about it in the first time, because it's intuitively just much easier just to sit at home in front of your computer and just send CVs through application. But knowing that you probably are one among a few hundred other candidates, it makes your chances very slim. So the job you have now, you said, in Connect team, is basically in the first initial meeting you got through a friend, right? Who was leaving the company or who was there, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's a good friend of mine. It's a friend of mine from Norway that I know. When I lived in Oslo, I got to know her, and I knew she was working for a tech company. So I approached her and I asked her about the company, and yeah, she got me the interview. You know, the company is extremely small. When I came in, we were a very, very small team. So each and every person they interviewed was, you know, it was a huge decision. The person you bring in today are really the people that are gonna build up the company. So it happened to work out for me. The same thing, by the way, that I said about LinkedIn, you know, you have someone from HR and they are saying, we're hiring. The same thing happens at these networking events. Companies come there to find talent. And, you know, if you don't know this, if you don't go to these events, they are actually there to find you and recruit you to their company. That is what they are there to do. So,
and hopefully, you know, they will be there also after the COVID pandemic has ended. But right now, there's none of those kind of events. So now, right now, the other strategy is more effective about reaching out to people. So you reach out basically to HR people, you said.
Yeah, or I would look up, if I knew, you know, LinkedIn is great that you can see people that you know within the company or people that are connected to people that you know. So I would always reach out to, you know, first degree connections or second degree connections. If there was second degree connections that would work in HR or in that specific role that I was looking for, I would turn to my first connection and ask them, hey, do you know this person? Do you think you could put me in touch? And
so you network yourself. It's a domino, like snowballed yourself to the right person.
Yeah. I also had a rule for myself on LinkedIn to not add people that I haven't interacted with. And that would always reduce the noise. It would make my search easier because my first connections would be people that I know and that know me. Yeah. And then it's easier to ask them, you know, hey, I saw this position. Do you think you could put me in touch? Because they know me.
I think you're touching a very interesting point because a lot of people, they connect on LinkedIn, but not everybody built relationships on LinkedIn, right? Like there's a lot of people you just accept their connection request, or you yourself just reach out and that's it ends there, and then they just one out of thousands of other connections you have. But so when someone actually asks you for a connection or you ask them, to at least get some kind of exchange going on between you two, whether it's a meeting or it's like a Zoom call, or whether it's like a ping pong and email back and forth, or messages back and forth, then you at least, you know, you have some kind of relationship with that person. Exactly. It will mean a lot more next time you reach out for help for this person. Great. So how did you, when you reached out, what did you write? Like, would you write something specific about, would it be because you saw a position in that company, or would it be because you just think he's an interesting company, he's an interesting person in that company, or how would you?
So usually it would always include something like, hey, I saw that you have this position open. I think I would be very relevant for this position based on experience X, Z, and Y. And I would ask, is it okay to ask you a bit more about the position? And I would try to start a conversation. Again, we get back to the point of not just saying, you know, I want this job, but maybe, you know, try to start a conversation, show that you're human, because the more you converse with the person, you know, the dream is to get on a phone call, because if you can do that, then you can really show that who you are. It's really hard to understand from a person, just, you know, from a message, who they are. And again, I didn't come with this wide portfolio of experiences. So I think I had to really sell my personality and I had to sell my potential.
Which is a good point. Because when you send your CV out there, and the reason, probably one of the reasons why you didn't get any a lot of response is because on your CV, you don't have too much experience. And so you don't stand out. But when you actually have that few minutes to speak with someone who could recommend you inside the company or even the HR or whatever, then suddenly you're not just Nathaniel, the CV with unexperienced, but you're Nathaniel, the guy, you know, the personality and the person, and it brings so much more, with a little more trust and a little bit more, you make it easier for them to choose you, basically.
Yeah, I think so. I believe in that 100%. And from, you know, all the experience that I had, I would say that is definitely the case.
Cool. Great, Nathaniel. I think we are about the half an hour that I usually do our podcast interview with. So thanks a lot for sharing your experiences, your strategies. And again, congratulations with the position you have now. It sounds like you're really on growing, and you're really on the way. And and feel free to reach out to Nathaniel. Right? How can they find you on LinkedIn? That's a great place to connect with you.
Yeah, if people want to connect, anyone, you know, anyone who has questions, or needs some advice, I would be happy to help go over their CVs. I got so much help coming to Israel. If anyone wants to reach out, feel free, add me on LinkedIn, Nathaniel Cresson. Please send me a little note so I know who you are. As I mentioned, I don't just accept anyone. So please add a little note just so I know who you are and why you are adding me. But otherwise, you know, feel free to reach out on LinkedIn anytime.
Yeah, exciting. That's a great point you just made there, because the more you get declined by someone else, like when you just send out randomly invitation, you should reach out to people. But when you write a note, you increase the chances of getting accepted as a friend, right? As a connection, one thing. And the other thing is, if you have too many declines from too many people, LinkedIn will start noticing it, and they will start, asking questions. Why is this person? Is he spammer? Is he a spammer? So always write a note. And as Nathaniel says, it's really something that makes him decide whether he want to connect with you or not. Or that's, a lot of people have it like that. So great. So good luck with everything. And you know, from a fellow Scandinavian, I just want to say, you know, hello, Luc, med hil.
Tusen tack. And thank you so much for having me, Yoni.
You're welcome.